Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Zingari. There were the early settlers in Vermont. There were the Nearings in the 1930s. You had the back-to-the-landers in the 60s and 70s. And now there's a new wave of homesteaders. Here to tell us about them is Melissa Passanen. She writes for the Savervoir section of the Burlington Free Press. Melissa, welcome back to the VPR Cafe.
Thanks for putting up with me, Rick.
Is there a new movement of homesteading going on here? And if so, why are people embracing this?
I'm not sure I'd say it's new. I think there are probably always waves of folks getting into it in different ways. It's like everything. It's constantly evolving. But there is sort of a group that I've noticed recently, and that's what I wrote about, sort of more middle-aged folks who are maybe stepping off other career paths or rebalancing sort of their life priorities. And I visited with a couple of those folks, as well as talking to some people who've been involved over the longer haul for this story. So Kathy Boyer and Rob Hunter, they live in Moncton. They both have full-time jobs, but they sort of got involved in feeding themselves with their own food as what they called a self-sustainability project, not so much homesteading. They didn't even know the term when they first started. And they said they just wanted to know what was going into their bodies. And then they have a couple that they're good friends with who are a little more, I guess we should say, hardcore, but they're doing more of homesteading from the food also down to cutting all the firewood to heat their home with a wood-fired burner. And Melanie Cote and Warren Dixon. And Melanie was a teacher and a librarian until she joined her husband full-time on the homestead a couple years ago. And she said their motivation was to live a peaceful life, to create for ourselves and not be consumeristic.
What does homesteading look like in 2015?
So it can look all sorts of ways. And the two folks that I spoke with who have sort of a broader, more historic, I guess, perspective on this, Andrea Tesman, who's a very prolific cookbook author and has been doing a good measure of homesteading in Ripton for about 20 years and has a new book called The Backyard Homestead, Book of Kitchen Know-How. She said a homesteader is someone working towards independence in the food they consume and the energy they use. Very few people are completely independent and self-sustaining. So it's kind of on a continuum. And Philip Ackerman Least, who's a professor at Green Mountain College, has been involved in homesteading for close to two decades as a practitioner and a teacher and wrote a book called Up Tunkett Road, The Education of a Modern Homesteader. He said similar things to Andrea. He said it's a trajectory, everybody moving along on their own chronology and tempered by your own reality. So it can look everywhere from Philip's, you know, when he started with his wife Erin, pre-three kids, they were completely off-grid, built their own house, raised pretty much all their own food. And to them, they've actually had to sort of temper to their own realities of having three kids. It's hard to do all of that when you're also trying to raise three kids. So it is where it finds you. It's however much you want to do, really.
Is this a way of saving money?
No one really said that, although Boyer and Hunter said to me that a lot of times people assume they're doing it to save money, but especially if you count your time and effort as worth anything, no. But theoretically, you could buy cheaper food, but for the quality of food that you're able to raise yourself, you probably would spend more money. And, you know, they all said to me it's more a quality of life thing.
This is the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Zingari. With me today is Melissa Passanen of the Burlington Free Press. We're discussing homesteading in the 21st century. Melissa, how simple is living the simple life?
So, of course, not at all, right? And Philip Ackerman Least said that to me. He said, I wish that they hadn't coined that term because homesteading is just not simple. Needless to say, you're doing so many things all the time. And in fact, Kathy Boyer and Rob Hunter pulled back. Last summer, they were raising meat birds by the dozen, as well as layers, pigs and goats for meat. And they were doing succession planting in their garden and just waking up every August morning to so much they had to can or freeze or process that they said they didn't have a life. So they were able to say, we don't want to do that this summer. Let's pull back a little bit. So it's a balance. Again, it's all what works for you.
How do people learn about homesteading or get advice, support on trying to live this way of life?
So unlike the early days of homesteading, we now have the internet, of course. So one of the things that Kathy and Rob and also Warren and Melanie talked about was spending a lot of time looking on the internet and lots of really instructional videos, as well as reading books. People like Elliot Coleman, four-season gardening guru from Maine, is highly regarded by many of these folks. Philip has a book, as I mentioned, Andrea's new backyard homestead book of kitchen know-how. In fact, she's doing an event later today at the Northshire Bookstore in Manchester. It's at 3 p.m. She'll be cooking up some sourdough pancakes and giving out some of her historic sourdough starter with any purchase of the book. Mm. So that should be really fun for folks in that area. There's another pretty well-regarded homesteader and a writer in Cabot, Ben Hewitt, who wrote a book a couple years ago called The Nourishing Homestead that's quite instructional.
Is homesteading gaining any traction outside of Vermont?
I think homesteading obviously has always had its pockets. And Philip Ackerman Least, who travels a fair bit to lecture and talk with folks about homesteading, said over the recent years he's really seen its appeal broaden, not just geographically, but also among different demographics. Obviously, he works with students sort of late teens, early 20s, and he said it appeals to many of those folks, especially the students who come to Green Mountain, who are looking for sort of meaning and discipline, for something tangible in a world where so much isn't tangible. But he also said he's surprised at how older folks seem to be drawn to it these days, thinking about more the legacy that they might be leaving for their grandchildren.
Melissa Passanen writes for the Save a Voice section of the Burlington Free Press. Melissa, thanks for joining us again at the VPR Cafe.
Thank you, Rick.